And here we go. All right, I believe we are live. It says that we're live on Facebook. I would like to give it a few minutes. So as it's sort of sorting itself out and figuring out if it's live, welcome everybody. I'm Rebecca, and with me is the wonderful, amazing, and extremely helpful Sean Butner, who is one of my fellow high performing coaches at CHPC. And he to hear he to, today I'm not, my mouth is no longer working. It's past 7 o'clock. My mouth no longer works. So hopefully we'll be able to pick that up, and Sean can do most of the talking. So on September 29th through to October the 1st, I believe, I'm going to be participating in a new summit, online summit, with 12 of my fellow coaches, experts, and fellow awesome people. To share with you ways that you can take charge of your life. So COVID has really cut us off at the knees, and for a lot of people, that's made them hold back. They have not started what they maybe would have started in the absence of a global pandemic, or they have scaled back their efforts because they just don't know what's going on. So they've taken on like a wait and see attitude, which is really not helping, because as the pandemic continues to extend itself far beyond what we could have ever anticipated, it behooves us to understand what it is that we should be doing. And if we're not taking action, to understand the underpinnings as to why that's actually happening. So Sean is going to be sharing with us a little bit of a preview of his presentation coming up at the Take Charge Challenge. Soon as I'm done shooting this video, I'll put the link in the comments. If you want, you can, excuse me, you can drop it in there. It's thetakechargechallenge.com. But of course, I'll slap it in there, where you'll be able to listen to myself talking about my stuff, wonderful people like Sean talking about his. We're going to be talking about confidence tonight. And then 10 other coaches sharing their perspective on if you want to take charge of your life, of your relationships, of your businesses, there is a way of doing that, of breaking free from what's holding you back and really charging through life and getting what you want. So thank you, Sean, for joining me and my audience tonight. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm super pumped.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I love Sean. Sean and I, we meet on a weekly basis, mostly him to beat me up and make me do stuff, but also to make sure that we're constantly moving forward. So that's kind of one of the way that we kind of take charge of our lives, to be accountable to each other. So Sean, you're going to be doing a presentation on confidence. Tell us a little bit about that, and then I'm going to ask you a series of other skill testing questions.
Okay. Well, the title of the presentation is going to be unshakable in a shakable world. And oh, how have we shook this year between all the things, right? But, we had the pandemic here in the States, the economy is whoop. And I'm in California. This is the first sunny day where we can open the windows and breathe in like a week. So
Wow.
plenty of things to get you a knocked off message, get you knocked off that plan that you have for yourself. So what that'll just kind of sum up is, the different ways that we can have confidence so that we're not getting stuck in the existential dread of all the disasters that are happening.
I don't know what you mean. What do you mean there's disasters that are happening? Did something happen in 2020? Anyway,
Don't
so no, not a few things. Well, I like to thank you from the bottom of my Torontonian heart. Your smoke is here now. And so now we have trouble seeing our sunlight because the smoke is coming from so far. So first of all, glad that you're safe. It's always really, really important. So why did you pick confidence? There's obviously, when as a fellow high performance coach, there's lots of different aspects and angles we can take as to helping people to overcome the habits that they're not practicing or stop them from practicing bad habits. Why did you pick confidence as your topic?
So simply two reasons, right? First, I've spent most of my life as a card-holding introvert trying to like figure out this stuff for me. And so I have a bunch of different phases and examples, in my life and, work with dating, with, starting my own business to now being an entrepreneur in the middle of 2020. We'll just call it that. There's all
You
these
mean
different.
the dumpster fire of the year that we've had so far?
Yes, that some call it a dumpster fire. others just weep. So
Quietly.
So that's the first thing. And second, in my coaching practice, a lot of times people look to coaches to find that extra confidence. So I've had clients that have known what they've wanted to do, you know, changed careers, right? And hold themselves back. And it's being indecisive. It's when I've decided to leave corporate America to start my business. There's a lot of indecision there, but taking that bold action is one of those common lines through clients and, you know, through, I think everyone has some type of confidence story in their life. So,
yeah. So here's a question for you, because I also made the leap from corporate Canada into running my own business. I did that 10 years ago now, and I'm extremely glad that I did. But I didn't, like, I chose it sort of, but not really. Like, I left because job number six in 11 years was the third job I was pretty sure I was going to get fired from. And I was right, because I quit the same day they were going to fire my ass anyway. But I actually quit because I'd been promised a job by somebody else. And then 2 days after I quit, so into my 2 week sort of period where I'm going to be exiting stage left, she rescinded the offer. Ooh. So now I couldn't go back because it already replaced me with someone else. I couldn't go work for someone else because now I have no time. I'm a single mom with two small children. Oh my God. Right. And then I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to see if I can run my own business. Right. And so in a way, you know, like, oh yeah, I chose to run my own business. No, this was called like full on panic mode, that sort of pushed me into it. And so that's kind of how I got into it. Now I'm really, really glad I did, but I would be certainly not being, I would be a bit of a history revisionist if I said, oh yeah, you know, I just chose to do my own thing. Why did you leave? Cause I know you worked at Apple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why did you choose to leave Apple? And was there one sort of catalytic moment where you're like, okay, I'm done. And now I'm going to leap off into doing my own thing? Because there's a lot of people and a lot of people that, you know, that listen to some of the videos that I've done. They're either part-time and they want to scale to full-time, but they're really kind of freaked out about it. Like, they might have a main gig that pays the bills, but they hate, and they want to flip into doing what they truly love. But, you know, there's that hesitation you were talking about. What was your experience like?
So my experience started back in 2014. So I obviously working in tech, software engineer, pretty much fit the profile, but I knew that at that time for my career, I'm like, love mentoring. I love the people aspect of technology. So hey, I should, you know, get some more personal skills and I'll maybe become a manager and then, you know, have a leadership position, kind of lead in a greater way there, because the day-to-day stuff wasn't exciting me as much. So that's when I found out about high performance coaching. I figured, hey, if I had some coaching skills, I'd have the soft skills to be a better leader, to really build a team that was great. And so I took the jump and got certified and then realized, hey, this is what I love. And then after some interviews exploring that avenue at Apple, I realized I don't like office politics. And I'm not sure if you've ever had that experience, but I could actually see, I had three people in the room at my interview and they're fighting about, not so much about if they should hire me or not, but it was a power struggle between two different factions in the organization. And I'm like, I don't want to be here, right? I want to make a difference. I don't want to be paying attention to this kind of petty stuff. So that was the first inkling that, like, hey, maybe I need to go out on myself. So from 2014 to 2019, right? It's a 5-year period of me waffling, not waffling. So I did the like two tracks. So I had the business on the side. I had my full-time job at Apple. I live in Berkeley. So I was commuting like 20 hours a week down my job, which is a part-time
thing
itself. And so that combination of long commute and two jobs, essentially, right? I'm glad I like had the tools to do it for as long as I did. But last year I was like, I need to make a jump. I need to commit to one of these things. I'm either working in corporate America or I'm going to strike out on my own. And had enough going on in my business to where I'm like, you know what? I can make the jump. I'm going to either find out if I can sink or swim. It'll be fun along the way, because I have this belief, and it's weirdly proven. It's going to sound kind of like The Secret, but when you take bold action in your life towards what you want, that mm-hmm. the universe will help conspire to make it happen. So okay. You know, you get people to support you, you get people to cheer you on, opportunities come up that you just don't realize when you haven't like fully committed. And so that is the confidence bit, like how do you fully commit to what your heart's saying in a way.
Well, there's, so I find that there's like a piece of the puzzle that people kind of struggle with. Like they really, they want to commit, and yet there's like always, there's a little piece of them that kind of holds them back. Mm-hmm. In your experience, like how do you get people to kind of cut that last cord and to kind of really jump and, like you say, be bold? Like there, some, for some people, like bold might be making a phone call or having a conversation, you know, with someone that they maybe should have been having a conversation with, but maybe they're avoiding. Maybe it's their kid, their spouse, their friend, their family, something like that, right? And other bold moves are like what you and I did, were like, you know, screw you, corporate America or Canada. And we're like, woo, we're gonna go on. And then it's like, whoa, what have I done? Which was always the fun part after you've made that bold move of, you know, have I done the right thing? Which always happens.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, there you go. So do you have any advice for people who are just like at that cusp and there's like one thing that's holding them back? Like, how do you help people to make that final leap?
The thing that I think most people realize that is the biggest help is mm-hmm. that when you frame it in terms of, will I have regret in the future? Like if I don't get this correct with my friend by having the heart to heart come to, you know, Jesus or whatever mm-hmm. moment mm-hmm. where you're like, okay, this needs that, we need to solve this for everyone's sake. If you start thinking about, if I don't have that conversation, it's just going to stay as sucky as it is, or it's going to get worse in the future, right? So mm-hmm. it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. For me, I was at a point where like, I'm slowly killing myself, you know, with the long commute, with 40 plus hours, plus whatever other time I could squirrel away from my coaching practice. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to like either have a mental breakdown and just, you know, not be able to function.
Yeah.
or I mean, if I, you know, when I have kids, look back at this, I'm telling them the story of, oh, that time when I chickened out and did the safe thing versus following my heart. Like that's, it's necessary then to step up and be like, I want to be a good role model. You know, I want to have, be proud of my story, but I also want my family to be proud of my story. So I think that finding that necessary hook on it's, you know, you can live the great life that you want.
Yeah.
And part of living that great life is not knowing. And I think, you know, the second thing that people get caught up is you just don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. But every time I've taken that leap, that's when you feel the most alive. That's when you feel like you're guiding your life. You have control. You're guiding your destiny. Yeah. You're pushing forward. And those are the times where I think you really learn about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you find those growth moments where you're like, I stepped up and maybe it didn't work out the way that I wanted, but I am.
But stronger. It worked out somehow. Yeah. And I guess, you know, just to your point about the whole, I know the today's sort of topic is all about confidence. That's got to be a huge confidence booster. Like as you make those leaps, whether they're big or small, and you see the results and you see, you know, that, oh, like I can make progress here. And it doesn't have to be like my past was. Like I have a lot of my own clients who very much spend a lot of time ruminating and regretting the past. So I know you talk about, they don't want to do something in the future they regret. Well, it's probably because they've done something in the past that they regret and they're trying not to repeat the pattern, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that's actually really cool. Like when you are become aware of your patterns and aware of your habits and aware of your thinking, that now you're like, hey, wait a second. Maybe if I'm aware of it, I don't need to repeat it. Like we are not doomed to repeat our past time after time after time. Like we can overcome it and we can make progress. And as there's more progress, you get really good. And I know, you know, part of what Brendan talks about in his book and in a lot of the program. So again, for those wondering, Brendan Burchard is the architect of the Certified High Performance Coaching Program, High Performance Institute, lots of scientific research done on what people do day in, day out that makes them successful. So, you know, kind of guides you through it. And one of the things that he often talks about, and I know we were talking about it right before the call, is there's that confidence competence loop, like goes around and around and around. And so as you get a little bit better at something, you become a little bit more confident at something, which makes you want to study that skill a little bit more. And so, you know, when people are making that leap, so whether it's part-time to full-time, you're starting your new business, you're going whole hog and quitting, or you're just out of options like I was, and you're like, well, I guess I'll go from here. I had to get really competent really fast because I started my whole business, which I then ramped up, you know, within about 7-8 years to about just under $1 million a year, teaching social media and stuff like that. But when I started, I'd never actually touched Facebook ever. So you want to talk about a confidence issue. But you know what it is, but you talked about something really important. You may not have confidence, but you may have necessity. Like it might be, like at that point, it was literally urgent for me to find a way of making money. And I wanted to do so that was solving an actual problem. And 10 years ago, social media was still pretty brand new. So it was 2010. You got to remember, like Facebook was only invented in 2006. So it was only 4 years old. And as I became more competent, my confidence was able to grow. And I remember in university, I was terrified of public speaking. And what I realized when I got into my vocation now, so, you know, social media marketing expert, and, you know, now I've evolved into a high performance coach, sort of merging a whole bunch of things together. As long as I know what I'm talking about, I could talk to millions of people and I will not get nervous, any more nervous than I would to a room of 25. Right. You just, you know, there's always that, that jittery little excited feeling that you get. And I realized how important the competence part was for confidence. Cause I was asked, there was like a 3-day training thing I did, oh, like 8 years ago. And I knew social media really well. And they say, can you talk about websites? And I'm like, sure. So I did a little bit of research and I quickly realized I have made a terrible mistake because that's a whole different world, right? And I'm like, ruh, ruh. So it's kind of like that Bart Simpson episode, which I've seen only about 3 because it came out when I was didn't have a TV. But it was like, you know, as long as there's no follow-up questions, the answer is yes, right? So I taught my stuff and I crossed my fingers that nobody asked a question. Because I was one question away from the balloon popping and everyone realizing that I had surface level knowledge. So, I mean, I didn't teach them garbage. I taught them, you know, good, decent stuff, but like my competence was just not there. And that was a catalytic moment where I realized I will never do that again. So being able to guide people into their area of competence and steer them in that direction, that really leads to confidence. Would you agree with that?
I do. Actually, your story and that point reminds me of one of the best pieces of advice I had in my career, which my very first manager when I worked at Walmart Corporation, Incorporated. I just completely brain farted.
Walmart. That's
yeah. The Walmart.
Sure, we all know Walmart. The Walmart. Yeah. We got that up here too.
Oh, good. Yeah. Walmart Canada. Go guys. So he said, you know, and this relates to the confidence competence loop, right? So if you feel like you're not competent, the piece of advice is you want to be making mistakes. And this is what confidence gets you in a lot of ways. It allows you to make mistakes, right? As long as you don't do the same mistake twice, that's how you get competent, right? Because that's called learning.
You know? What?
Yeah. Oh, I tried that. That didn't work. Well, I know that doesn't work. Let me do something a little bit different. Oh, that worked a little bit better. You know, we do that in, you know, in marketing. We do like everything. There was a time nobody knew how to tie their shoes. You tried like the weird thing that your parents did. They just mushed their fingers together. It was magic. Eventually, you know, you start trying it. And over time, you don't even think about it anymore. It just kind of you're like, tie shoe. And it happens. So like, that's an illustration of the confidence loop where, you know, you try something, you get some feedback, eventually you get there. So as long as you're making new mistakes.
Yeah. And the other thing, I'm just thinking about that while you're talking, just about always learning and trying, there's the commitment factor as well. It's like, apparently it's C word night. Well, not all the C words, but we'll leave that one out. But anyway, nice, good ones.
Yeah.
Just say that. Didn't actually say the word. But you know, like the when you commit to something and you put it in your calendar and you schedule it and you practice it, like the hard part is at the beginning, right? And that's for everything. Like when I first I've worked out for, you know, years. But as I got older and busier, you know, I've got four kids and we brought another girl, so technically I've got five. Life gets a little busy. And up until this month, I've had two businesses. I'm now going down to one, so I'm very excited about. But still, like you can use busyness as an excuse to not practice a certain kind of a thing. And if you don't practice it, if you don't commit to it, then you can't become competent, which will then prevent you from becoming confident. And so a lot of people start with confidence with like, believe in myself and positive thinking. Mm-hmm. And in that book, Do One Thing Different by Bill O'Hanlon, I think is the name. He likens, you know, think positive to taking crap and spraying it with gold glitter, right? It still stinks. It's, you're not doing anything with it. It's not really helpful. Where that crap becomes helpful is when you plant it, and then, you know, you fertilize it. So that's practicing, that's focusing on it. You know, that's taking care of it. And by taking care, the way I translate that for my clients, because, you know, I like crap metaphors, is putting it actually into your calendar. And I use this phrase today on one of my coaching calls, and it's one of my absolute favorites. You know, commitment or cowardice show up in your calendar. So if you're not committing to something, if you haven't scheduled time, especially if it's something you really want to get good and consistent at, you want to become confident, you don't start at thinking positive, right? Yes, you should, you know, realign your thoughts. Goodness knows I wrote a whole book on it called Think Again, but it's more than that. You've got to actually then like step that back into your calendar and say, okay, I'm going to commit to this. Like this is happening. And so on. And I wanted to ask you one more thing before we sort of wrap up. This has been an awesome conversation. You know, you and I can talk about this forever. But one of the things that I came across, and I think we might've talked about this on one of our sort of masterminding calls, is the alter ego effect, right? So a lot of people who lack confidence, they need to almost like absorb the character of something or someone else, whether they make it up or whether it's like a fictional character or an actual real character. And they try to embody the characteristics of those people so that in those moments when you really need to show up, but you are like absolutely pooping yourself because you're so scared, you sort of become this thing. And just a couple of examples. I mean, most people are familiar with Beyonce, you may have heard of her, and her Sasha Fierce alter ego. You know, at the beginning of her career, she was very scared about going on stage and lacked a lot of confidence. So she would pretend to be this totally fictitious character and then absolutely rocked it, as we can see. You know, my alter ego is Wonder Woman because I just love, you know, standing up for the little guy, you know, being absolutely fearless. And I just love the movie. And the part of the movie that I saw that I really loved was when everyone was in the trenches, the enemy was across, and she just got on that ladder and she's like, well, let's get her done. You know, and she went out there and she took the bullets for everyone. And that gave them confidence to come out, you know, and then to win that particular battle. So do you have an alter ego? I'd love to hear if you have one or if you have stories of somebody else. You can totally tell a story about somebody else who has one if you don't have your own.
I guess like, this is a very interesting question because when I'm thinking about it, the first thing that came onto or came into my head was like
Bill Gates.
No, I was going to say my rock star persona. So I've always loved music. Music's been really important in my mm-hmm. family. And I loved it so much that I decided to be really terrible and like get up in front of people without knowing how to play guitar or knowing how to sing years and years and years ago. But it's translated over the years in to free burritos, street change, free beer, like, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I perform or when like there's certain like power songs, and everyone has like their own power music. So I have like certain, when I need to get pumped up, I have a whole playlist of things. And I play all those songs. Mm-hmm. I can sing along and not be so terrible nowadays. But you know, so that idea of like the show must go on, you know, that mm-hmm. act of, if you've ever performed or if anyone's ever performed, it's that
I have.
Okay, lights are on, everyone's looking at you gotta go, like that gets me out of my head. I will get in my head otherwise. Like normal Sean is always like, oh, bird, you know, like, oh, I wonder what that bird's eating for lunch today, or I need to get out of this bird. See, this, I'm doing it right now in real time. I'm so fixated on this bird, but like that rock star persona is like, okay, like pay attention, do what you got to do. Don't overthink it. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. That overthinking thing can take down even the greatest of the Titans among us. Well, thank you, Sean, for coming on and letting me ask you a bunch of skill testing questions. I really enjoyed it. For those of you listening, thank you for listening. I will be putting the link in for the summit. You get 12 coaches for only $50, and you can get a VIP ticket for $147. And what that gives you access to is not only all the recordings, but some free books. I think there's up to 6 books now that we have that various people of the coaches that are joining or the experts have written. So you get my book for free. You get, there's a compilation book that is also going to be provided. You can get all the information at thetakechargechallenge.com. Again, the link will be in the comments in just a moment. So thank you again, Sean. Really appreciate it. Really looking forward to listening to your presentation later on this month. And I hope you have a great night. And for all my listeners, have a great night as well. And we'll see you tomorrow when I do my next interview with another coach coming up soon. Take care, guys.